Welcome to the ADHD Alchemy Podcast, where women with ADHD finally feel seen, understood, and unapologetically themselves. If you have ever felt like you're too much and not enough all at the same time, you're in the right place because that's the alchemy, learning how both come together to make something priceless. I'm Jessica Covington, holistic ADHD coach and fellow fancy brain, and I'm really glad you're here. Let's get into it. Welcome to ADHD Alchemy. It's more than a podcast. It's also my signature coaching program at Fitology. It's perfect for bright, sensitive women who are tired of feeling scattered and chaotic and ready to feel calm, clear, and finally in control. I have a new resource ready for you to use and completely free for listeners. It's called the Clear the Fog Plan. And I made it for the moments when everything on your to-do list seems like it's urgent. So you're just bouncing around between things, feeling so crazy busy, but never actually making any progress. This is a guide to tiny stress-free experiments to help you see clearly what really works for your fancy brain. If that sounds good, find more at fitology.com/clear. That link will be in the show notes. And today we have with us Monica Walston, a wife, mom of three, grandma of three, great-grandma of one, and a past life regression hypnosis practitioner specializing in trauma. Now, Monica didn't realize that she even had ADHD until her 40s because it just wasn't really known when she was growing up. And she says, even though it makes perfect sense now, it can still be a struggle. So Monica, I'm so glad you're here for this conversation today. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So let's start with finding out about ADHD in your 40s, just like I did. How did that come about? And what was it like for you to hear that for the first time?
Well, just hearing about ADHD and the symptoms of it in my 40s and, you know, hearing it for so long and then thinking, you know, you hear these symptoms and you go, wait a minute, that's me. I have that. Wait a minute, you know. That's something that makes sense, you know, and then just kind of after hearing it for a while and then finally just going to the doctor and saying, you know, hey, listen, this is what's kind of going on. And, you know, this is what I think. What do you think? And, you know, the doctor saying, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what you have. And then just kind of going from there, you know, so it was kind of a self-diagnosed thing, I think.
Yeah.
At first, and then, you know, just getting kind of that, you know, recognition from the doctor that yeah, that's what you have. Because we didn't have that. You know, I'm 55, and when I was growing up, there was no ADHD. I mean, there were hyper kids, you know, but they were just called hyper. We didn't.
Yeah. And they were all boys.
Yeah. And most of the time, well, I don't know. My parents said that. My dad used to tell me all the time, you talk way too fast. You need to slow down, you know. Uh-huh. So yeah, we didn't have those kind of diagnoses when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Or even a young adult for that matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, very similar experience for me. It was not a thing. It just wasn't common, wasn't talked about. But once I got confirmation that that's what was going on, it felt like such a huge relief because it explained everything about what I had struggled with and why.
And not only that, but things like, you know, feeling like you're lazy, you know, struggling to, there's things that you want to do, but you just can't make yourself do them. That was always a huge one for me. You know, and then like the shame and the, you know, just the self-worth and the self-doubt and all of that stuff. You know, once I started reading about it just a little bit, and I haven't done a ton of research, but definitely not as much as you have. It just kind of all made sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So earlier when we first got in touch, you described yourself as a very detail-oriented person. And I love that you said that because there's this really pervasive myth that having ADHD means we can't possibly be organized or attend to details.
Yeah.
And I know from both my own experience and professionally, this is definitely not true. And I've also seen detail orientation get in our way sometimes. So, can you talk about how you balance your eye for detail with also being able to move forward, even if things aren't exactly perfect?
Yeah. I used to call myself a perfectionist, and now I've changed that to detail oriented for
Nice.
obvious reasons.
It's a great shift.
And with things like, anything, I'm a creative, which it seems like a lot of people with ADHD are the creatives. Mine is like I was a web designer for a while. I was a photographer. I've always made jewelry, but now I even have a side business doing that where I make like holistic jewelry and stuff, electroforming in copper and so on and so forth, like bugs and spiders and like cool stuff. And I've always been attention to detail, like in my just regular daily living life, I'm very organized. In my business life, it seems like it's much harder. But a lot of times, like you were just saying, the attention to detail has gotten in my way because everything has to be done a certain way and it has to be absolutely perfect before I will put it out in the world for everyone to see. And for myself, I've just kind of had to let go of that aspect of myself, and it's been really hard actually, but I find that I'm a lot happier if I'm not nitpicking over every single little detail, because a lot of times those things, those little flaws are, they're character too, especially with that kind of work that, I do, the creative stuff. And then in my hypnosis business, so for example, I get extremely overwhelmed with trying to figure out what to put on YouTube, what to put on Facebook and Instagram and Spotify and Substack and all of that kind of stuff. And even seeing, because then I'm searching for people that teach, the business aspects of things, even though I've owned a business in one form or another for the past probably 30, 35 years. I haven't worked for anybody for that long. And even though I know the business aspects of it, the marketing stuff is what's killing me. But it's also the social media, and I'm fine with social media. I'm a techie too, being a former web designer. And I've really, really, really been struggling. And so a lot of times I'll see stuff on social media where, it's a seminar, a webinar, or whatnot that teaches you things, or you'll see, ads for different things or whatever. And, I've seen a lot of things about a content system. And for some reason, it just never really clicked to me until, believe it or not, today.
Today.
Today, this morning, I use ChatGPT quite often in my business, not to necessarily write things, but for ideas or to just help me, word things a little bit better, or just little weird tasks or what, create GPTs. Like I've got custom GPTs for like, a soul contract where you can like enter all your, birth details, and it will give you your soul contract or your astrology reading, or because I'm into all that woo-woo stuff, right? So today I'm sitting down and I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. I'm doing these YouTube videos for my channel, and what I need to do, and even though I've heard people talk about this for whatever reason, it just didn't click until this morning. And I'm like, okay, so I need to take these YouTube videos, save them as audio files for Spotify, and then I need to take those videos and use those for, so that I'm not having to try to come up with 15,000 ideas. Use
Yes.
that video for the reels on Facebook and Instagram. Use that same content for Substack, and things like that. And so then today it finally just clicked for whatever reason, even though I've heard about doing that in the past, just never clicked. So then today I sat down with ChatGPT and I've been working on a custom GPT that has all of the rules for, okay, here's the idea I want to do. Here's, and then it will like help me maybe write a few things or reword what I've already written to make it a little bit better, even though, my writing's pretty decent. I like to help, a little bit more help. And so I created like a custom GPT to where I'll go, okay, I've got ideas in there already to where I say, okay, this week it's going to be, I'm going to do two videos a week, every week. This, and then I've just got a list of ideas, right, for videos. And so then I put those in the GPT, and the GPT will give me, I'll give GPT my script, and then it will give me all of the reels, like cut it here and here, all of the, what I suggestions for captions and hashtags, and so that I can take just those two videos a week and basically reconstitute and reuse them for all of the platforms. Because I have really, really been struggling with social media to the point where, like on Facebook and Instagram, I haven't really been doing a lot because it is so overwhelming. And even on the other platforms, and I just barely started Substack and Spotify, but it's just so overwhelming for me. And then I finally found a solution, even though it's probably been there the whole time. But for whatever reason, it just didn't click. So it just seems like for me, the organization is something that I need to be able to have that structure. You know what I mean? To be able to
Absolutely.
not be so stressed out and overwhelmed.
We hit on a couple of topics there that I really just want to sort of highlight and pull out for everybody. One is the idea of finding your own way to do things. It may not be the same way that everybody else does it,
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
if it works for you, then that's what works. And being persistent enough to come back to it and back to it and back to it, even after maybe you've been posting on Facebook for 30 days and then you have a run where you just can't even face posting on it. Having the persistence to come back to it and take a fresh look is really important. That's, in fact, I was just talking with a client this morning about the meaning and the essence of discipline. It's not being consistent and doing the same damn thing every single day. Real discipline is being able to get back on the horse after you've fallen off. So I think that's really important.
I agree, actually. Yeah, I agree.
Being able
For
to
me, I just feel
use.
like, yeah, if I have that structure, you know what I mean? And it's just not so overwhelming.
For sure. Being able to use tech tools to our advantage and finding ways to get the most mileage out of any creation, whether that's a piece of content or a loaf of bread or whatever it is that you're into making, finding different ways for it to become useful is really important too. So thank you for that. We got a lot out of that one little tidbit of social media.
This morning I started doing that, and then I started getting really excited, you know what I mean? And going, okay, cool. This is gonna work. Now that I have it structured in a specific way, now it should be a lot easier for me to just keep up with all that kind of stuff. You
That's
know?
exciting.
So yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about it.
Good.
It's like a small win for me, so.
Or maybe a big
Or
one.
yeah, true. It could be a huge one actually.
That's a great example of how, a lot of people who don't have a deep understanding of ADHD will assume that when we are unable to focus, unable to move forward on something or finish something that we've started, that it has to do with structure. And if we just imposed more structure, then all of our problems would be gone and solved automatically. That's not always the case, especially if we have the kind of ADHD that makes us avoid certain demands. So what you've done is found this, it's a type of structure, but it's a structure that works for you.
Yeah, specifically,
Partly because you helped create it. And so I think that's really important. And it shows that balance between structure that feels like a prison and structure that feels like freedom.
yeah, exactly. I would agree with that.
So how do ADHD emotional patterns like shame and overwhelm and burnout show up for you out maybe outside the work realm?
When I get too overwhelmed, I feel like I shut down, and then that's where, the laziness, like I don't have the drive to want to do it if I'm overwhelmed. You know what I mean? And then it's and then comes the shame for being overwhelmed and thinking, oh my goodness, I'm so lazy. And from there you just kind of shut down until and then for me too, I have a lot of like ruminating thoughts, and I think that's part of ADHD. Yeah, I can't talk today. ADHD too, right? And I feel like when I'm busier, I don't have those thoughts as much. Conversations like with like had a if something happened or whatever. Or even stupid stuff like, my mom died 2 years, 4 years ago, 4 years ago. No, it's okay. It's a long story, but we weren't close. But, having conversations with things that I would say to her if she were still here, or do you know what I mean? Like things like that, or having a conversation with somebody. And I'm kind of one of those people that I need to think about what I say before I say it, and sometimes that thought doesn't come until 2 days later.
Yes, same here.
You know what I mean? And then I'm like, I wish I would have said this, instead of either not saying anything or saying what I did say. You know what I mean? Like, I probably should have said this. And so I'm always thinking about those kind of things. And the only time I can really shut that off is if I'm like really busy doing something else. So I try to stay busy, but then if you get overwhelmed, which is why I'm so excited about this thing I figured out today, even though, it's not anything new that people haven't already done, and there's a lot of people even making money off that online, teaching people how to do it. But for some reason it just didn't click. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm really excited about this. And so I think once I get that going, it's really gonna, help me in both my business life. And not only that, because up until this point, I'm spending, because I'm kind of a homebody and I'm a hermit too. And I don't, you probably done a lot more research than I have. And I don't know if those are also qualities of ADHD, but I have a couple of friends, but I'm fine with being alone and having just a couple of like good friends. But, and most of them are out, don't even live by me anyways. So, because I'm from the city and now I live in the country, and so they're all out there, but it's like, if I'm spending 16 hours a day in my office here working, I think once I get structured in this way, with this new way, that's gonna open up time. Not only is it gonna help my business do better, but it's gonna, open up time for me to do things that I really enjoy outside of work as well. Because then you've got, the freedom, and not only that, but if I'm structured in a way where I've got more financial freedom, then that is going to help with my personal life as well. And so yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Getting all
Absolutely.
that done and organized.
Yeah, there really are downstream kind of ripple effects of making one positive change, especially if it's the kind of change that leads you into a little more freedom, a little
Like
more
snowballs.
efficiency in one area so that you can spend time and energy and cognitive energy doing other things.
Yeah. Like, for example, my jewelry business is on hold right now because I've spent so many hours, like I said, 16 hours a day. I'm in here all the time working on this, and I love doing it because I want to help people. And the spiritual awakening that I've been going through over the last 15 years maybe makes me want to do that. But like I said, I'm also a creative, and I had to quit doing that because we've had a couple floods in our house. And so anyways, we have to, and my jewelry studio was upstairs where my bedroom is now at, and 'cause the master's downstairs, but My jewelry studio was so full of supplies, I needed a bigger area, so I was going to move it down to the basement anyways. So that last flood, pretty much made me do that.
Yeah.
But I want to get my floor downstairs done. My jewelry studio is all packed up in boxes. I want to get my floor downstairs done so that I can not have to, I don't want to have to set everything up twice and move everything twice.
Right.
But I'm the type of person that I need to be doing something creative too. And for right now, making things in Canva and making videos and things like that, which is creative for me as well. But I really miss making my jewelry. So it's like, this thing I figured out, and if I get it structured in the way that I think it's going to work, is going to help me also get back to doing, the stuff that I get really excited about too, the creative stuff, because I've always been a creative. I just feel like I need to have that in my life.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think ADHD really comes along with a ton of creativity, and it can be joyful for its own purposes and in its own way. It's also a great way that I recommend very often for people to get unstuck. So I talk to people all the time who are feeling like, oh, there's this thing I need to do and want to do, but I just can't seem to get started on it. And when I tell them, okay, well, what can you make right now? They look at me like I have three heads because that sounds like it's completely off topic and taking them in a different direction. But actually, creating anything helps us get unstuck
And it
because of
doesn't
the
even
way.
have to be making something. It can be singing, it can be dancing, anything in that creative realm, painting. I mean, that's the make part, but it can be any of that kind of creative outlet stuff.
So true. Movement, of course, is my very favorite, but even if it's as simple as going to make some cookies in the kitchen, that still is enough of a pursuit to give our brains the dopamine impulse that we want and need in order to get started on that other thing that we've been avoiding. So,
Not only that, but sometimes you just need a break to kind of get when you're stuck like that. You just, even if it's not a creative, just doing something else, period, walking away from it for a little while and doing something else and then coming back, I think is huge too.
Yeah, that's great advice. So, as we start to wrap it up today, Monica, I'm curious, as somebody with a unique connection to, this is probably not the right word, but I'll say otherworldly kind of things, what do you think is really important for us with ADHD fancy brains to know about ourselves or about humankind in general?
Gosh, humankind in general, and I don't think this has anything to do with ADHD, but you asked. I think, gosh, with everything that's going on in the world right now, we need to quit judging people. We need to be more compassionate and, more empathetic with the things that people are going through. I guess that kind of does tie into ADHD because, then we've got the shame or we worry about what, and it does affect us, I think, a lot
Absolutely.
when people, aren't compassionate or, they're rude or they say mean things or, they're judging you. And I tell everybody this just in because there's a lot of spirituality tied up in my work a lot. And just be kind, be gentle, stop judging people. They've got their own path, and just like for me, for example, if I go to any store or anywhere, if I go anywhere, I like to just, and I think I got this from my grandpa. I like that he was a talker. And I like to just, if I go to Walmart and there's a stalker doing something, or like say they're sweeping, because let's say they're cleaning and I'll say something like, with a big smile, when you're done, go to my house and do that. You know what I mean? Just something to put a smile on their face for even just 10 seconds. You know what I mean? Just
I sure
even a
do.
smile when you're walking past somebody can change somebody's whole day. You know? So that's my advice. Just be more compassionate and kind and, you know, because we're all going through it. We're all struggling.
Absolutely.
There are very few people in the world who are not. And even those ones, you know, they're still struggling with their own things in their own way.
It seems like a beautiful note to wrap up on, Monica. Thank you so much for sharing. It's really important to have these kind of real and raw kinds of conversations that let others know they're not alone in the struggle and that we are all struggling with something. And I appreciate hearing about your discovery about your new system and how I'll be curious to hear how that works out for you and grateful for your unique perspective on things.
Well, thank you for letting me share.
My
I hope it
pleasure.
helps, you know, even if it just helps one person.
That's right. That's why we're here. Now, for those who want to reach out and learn more about your work, how can they find you?
I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, YouTube. If you just go to monicawalston.com, which I'm sure you'll link,
Sure will.
it has all of my social medias and everything on there. And they can find out about, you know, what I do if they're interested.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you again for your time. It's been wonderful. And for everyone with us today, please remember that you are worthy. You are needed in this world exactly the way you are, not despite your differences, but because of them. We'll see you next time. Here's your lab kit for today, three ideas from this episode that you can experiment with today. Number one is multipurposing or repurposing virtually anything. Now, Monica and I talked about content in the context of small business. So let's work with that, but keep in mind, this can be useful for almost anything. So if social media is your challenge, for instance, pick one piece of content that you already made and turn it into three different formats immediately. Make the original your anchor and then repurpose it into a short video clip, a text caption, an audio-only version, or something else. Keep it simple and reusable and not perfect. You could even set a 20-minute timer and be sure that you stop when it ends, because the key here is reducing decision fatigue instead of creating more work. Now, again, it may not be social media content that you're working with. It might be food, it might be clothing, it might be some other kind of content, maybe a written work. Try to make as many different things possible from it as you can. Experiment number two is the 10-minute shutdown. So the moment you begin to feel overwhelmed, first of all, notice what's happening in your body and then pause. Stop trying to push through. Put your phone down, close your eyes, see if you can lie down or at least lean back for 5, even 10 minutes without doing anything so-called productive. Let your breath get slower and softer as your body calms down from its overstimulation. You might even put a hand or two at your heart. And imagine your breath flowing in and out through the heart space. When the timer ends, if you have one set, then do just one small next step. This is a nervous system reset. It's not avoidance. And remember how I said it was so-called productive? This rest time actually is productive because what it's doing is resetting all of the circuitry that is available and necessary for you to come back and create something else later. Number three, return to the creative doorway. So just choose one low-pressure creative action today. Could be moving your body, doodling a picture, making a quick reel. You could sing, you could organize a drawer, you could make a sandwich even. Try to do it before you solve the hard thing or tackle the big project that you've been putting off. Let that creative action be the doorway back into focus instead of being a reward after you've earned it. You know, with ADHD, rewards rarely work the way that we think they will. If your brain resists, remind yourself that the motion creates momentum. The goal here is getting unstuck, not necessarily producing anything impressive. That's your ADHD Alchemy Lab kit for today. I hope you'll try one of these experiments and let me know how it goes. Thanks for listening to the ADHD Alchemy Podcast. If you're nodding along and thinking, oh yeah, that's me, then please subscribe and share this episode with another woman who gets it. Your reviews help more women discover they're not failing. They're just wired differently. And that is a good thing, despite the challenges. Plus, I want to hear your story. Apply to be a guest at myadhdalchemy.com and join my free community at fitology.com/community. Those links will be in the show notes. Together, we can rewrite the ADHD shame story into one of strength. I'll see you next time.